Today's show is sponsored by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Regular use of Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield provides a continuous invisible shield of protection against dandruff, itch, and dryness, renewing your protection with every wash. Get up to 100% dandruff protection that's never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology, available at Walmart.com.
And we want to thank Bespoke Post. Look, they're here to take your adventures to the next level this summer. And I got a box of awesome items. And I'm talking about a Damascus steel knife.
Oh, ooh. Dude, Damascus steel is dope.
I just look at it.
Yes, it's beautiful. It's functional.
I don't know how to use it. I just look at it.
Well, you can cut things with it.
You're a man now.
Yeah.
I'm a man now?
Yes.
Look, they have a bunch of these boxes of awesome collections. And you basically do this quiz, and you can go to boxofawesome.com. And your answers help them pick the right box of awesome for you, which I like that name. They release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up. You can skip a month. You can cancel anytime. Each box costs only $45, but has $70 worth of gear inside. So I know when we were going through the process ourselves, there was a bunch of awesome items.
And truly,
I went with the Damascus steel because that's just too cool. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com. Enter the code footballers at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code footballers for 20% off your first box.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in.
Oh, guess what? It's football time already. What? Oh, no, come on.
It's kind of football time.
Jason, it's week two of the NFL season, and you're over here already jaded?
I am here for fantasy, Mike, and I don't expect a lot of output tonight.
It's a defensive struggle. This is high-T football.
Antonio Gibson plays football tonight.
Yes, he does.
Saquon Barkley plays football tonight.
Yay! We hope he does.
What is the... How you feel about Saquon right now?
Poorly. Badly. I
Kenny Galladay plays tonight.
I do have one league where I have Saquon, and it was a legitimate thought, like, oh man, Saquon or James Robinson.
Yeah,
James Robinson did nothing week one, so it's in a bad way.
Currently, the emotions of Saquon are badder than bad.
So different than you felt before the draft?
Well, no, and that's what's great. What is great is that you knew this prior to the draft, that it's going to be a slow start, that you're drafting a player for a month into the season, because I do think, like, I don't think Saquon goes through this season being just an irrelevant fantasy option.
Agreed.
But I think he goes through this game as an irrelevant fantasy option.
And I think that when people will be asking us, who do I try and target and trade low for? Next week, it will be Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I mean, when you invest, you had to invest a first rounder on it.
You did.
Sometimes he would fall to the second, but yes. Yeah, I mean, you high capital.
It's very hard. Even if you think you went into the season knowing what to expect, you go through week one and you're like,
Yes. It's funny because if this was a player who was suspended and, you know, you're always going to miss the first two games, mm-hmm. or going to miss the first four games, you'd feel better about it because you wouldn't have him in your lineup. And maybe that is the rational advice here, and it's tough because of the capital you spent, you might not have the roster to do it. But if you were someone that picked up Elijah Mitchell, or as we found out on...
Wait, we're breaking this out already?
Well, we just brought it up.
If you listened to Green Room yesterday, we had our afternoon live show, Jason stumbled into...
Elijah Mitchell!
A wonderful nickname for Elijah Mitchell.
He's ready to fire.
Make me like him a little bit more this week.
If you drafted Saquon, but you happened to pick up Tyson or Elijah Mitchell, put those guys in over Saquon and give it time.
Okay.
If you're new to the show, prepare for more stupidity like that throughout the season.
Twitter at the FFBallers throughout the remainder of the show. Yesterday's show was incredible because it had these, like, I didn't realize we were going to be in the Elijah Missile sweepstakes between me and my co-host. And I didn't know I was going to win and be happy, and you were going to lose and be sad, and it was all going to happen live.
You happier.
Not to mention, I found out that the league mate, which we brought up our trade offers for Ronald Jones, the buy lows on Ronald Jones, was listening to us both talk about trading. I think you offered Jalen Reagor. I offered Dallas Goedert. So that was entertaining. That was fun. That was a good time. We have the forecast today. Starts of the week on today's show, the Boom Boom Kicker, some news to talk about. We have Never Not Working that I'll get to momentarily. Jointhefoot.com is our fantasy football community. You can get into leagues over there. You get access to premium content, which means the weekly premium projections, the expanded start-sit tool, the consistency charts, an extra episode of the podcast every week, and the Discord channel.
Yeah, and I really want to highlight the Stream Finder, which, look, the nature of that tool is it gains power over time. Week one, look, not the best, but it's almost, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this is something that we came up with a couple years ago. It's almost like an inverse strength of schedule where you can quickly and easily find it, which teams you need to target for your streaming quarterbacks, for your streaming defenses, tight ends. It's a tremendous tool that I use every single week.
So you can check all that out at jointhefoot.com. All the articles and rankings and resources that we have are on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com.
Never Not Working. Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
Any great fantasy football player needs to work a little harder to guarantee success, do that extra thing, go the extra mile, as they say.
Yeah, never not working. Although I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I don't do any work because they just listen to the show. You're having fun. This doesn't feel like work. It feels like fun, but that's what we're trying to do.
That's also never not working.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about some late week waiver wire pickups. We bring up, like, when the waivers go through, a lot of anticipation. You heard it on the show yesterday. The big players get picked up. But every week we're reminding you to drop it like it's hot, which is our way of saying, look at who was dropped in order to pick up those players. Because people, they have needs on their roster. That means that they might have to let go of depth pieces that you can pick up. And some of the players that might have been dropped this week or are available late in the week, we want to talk about on today's segment. I think one of the bigger ones is Marquez Callaway. See if he was dropped after a one-catch week one against Jair Alexander. It wasn't his week, right? Like, Jameis Winston only completed 14 passes. The long bomb touchdown went to Deontay Harris. And Callaway,
30% of the targets went to Adam Trautman.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, 30% of the 14 went to Adam Trautman.
The 20.
Oh, attempts. That's fair.
Yeah.
But Marquez Callaway is somebody that could be out there. Do you believe that you should pick him up and take a glance his direction?
Yeah,
Carolina this week?
I expect Jameis to have to throw the ball more, and I think he is going to be the number one target. You drafted him for the hopeful upside. He got a very bad cornerback matchup this week, and we knew that. Like, we talked about that prior to the game. It's always comforting when this isn't just, looking back, change of opinion advice, but, like, this was kind of expected prior. On the other side of the same game, something that was
not necessarily, and
he's far more available.
Mm-hmm.
Even after waivers have run through, he's only rostered in 22% of leagues. But Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS, wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers, he was very involved. He had a very good target market share. All of his targets
22%.
And they all came from Aaron Rodgers. It wasn't the garbage time of Jordan Love.
Which is where Randall Cobb got all those targets.
Right, so I think MVS is someone that you should take a look at.
So you're in on that too, Mike.
And yes, very very much so. The 22% of targets, like a high target share.
I don't see it. I can't get into this.
A high target share.
He stinks.
From Aaron Rodgers, who, like, I don't think that he stinks. He definitely had some big games last year. You had five games where he was a top 20 wide receiver. He's not. he will not be consistent. That's not what we're saying here, but we're saying at the end of the week, you got to keep never not working. And this matchup against the Detroit Lions, there is a great shot here that MVS gets a 50-yard touchdown or whatever.
So Callaway or MVS, if you had the choice?
I would.
Because you're probably signing them to play them.
I would go MVS. Wow. I think I would tie to the better quarterback and the longer-term potential in the sense that Callaway is a rental until Michael Thomas
is there. Did we talk about Van Jefferson on the waiver show, or did we not get
slightly
to talk about him?
I mean, he was only 3 receptions. It was the huge touchdown, what do you got to call glass when you catch it off of your face? Isn't that the rules?
I just wonder, like, there were only 26 attempts in that game.
Sure, he's interesting. He's interesting, but he is the third option at best to me when you have Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Where MVS, we're also bringing this name up again because he was the talk of camp, and you're the talk of camp, and you go right away to a 22% target share in a game where they need you. He's interesting to me. Detroit, San Francisco is who he gets to play next. Where Callaway this week, sure, I'll play him against Carolina, but then he's against the Patriots and the Giants. Not really where I want to play Callaway.
Cedric Wilson is a name you guys brought up before the show.
Yes.
Wide receiver for the Cowboys. With the injury to Michael Gallup, he's another guy that I'm not really into just because of what you just described about Van Jefferson, where you had 12 targets, I think, or 10 or 12 targets that went to the tight end position in Dallas. You have Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb. You have an offense that threw the ball 900 million times due to just the way the game flow was against Tampa Bay. That's going to come down. Zeke is going to get involved.
I don't think that comes down this week against the Chargers. The Chargers made the Washington defense look bad last year. I can't remember the stat off the top of my head, but it was like something with a 300-yard passer. It's been quite some time, and that was what Herbert did to them, where Cedric Wilson is now the third wide receiver for the Cowboys. Michael Gallup, before going down to his injury, saw 7 targets, and then Wilson saw 3. So that role, you're talking 7-plus targets is possible for Cedric Wilson in a game that is it still the highest over-under of the week?
I believe it might be the second highest, but it's at, I want to say, 55. Let's go.
55! A 55-point over-under. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be able to stop the Chargers.
How does it not hit the over?
I don't know.
Like, I feel like it's going to be 70 points.
And Lawrence just ended up with the broken foot, correct? We talked about that on the
Green
Room show.
Correct, which means the defense.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Yes.
For Dallas is hurting. I do think Cedric Wilson is interesting, but it is difficult in fantasy to want to rely on, at best, the target number 3, but he is a guy that could be involved. Here's a name specific, I think, for a lot of leagues have IR spots, and what's going to happen to half of every team in every league is you're going to have a player that's just ruled out this week. He's not there, and you're going to be able to slide him into your IR. And the players that you want to pick up in that situation are backup running backs who are one injury away from complete massive relevance. And to me, that's Alex Collins, running back for the Seattle Seahawks. Rashad Penny was the backup. He went down. Alex Collins has always performed admirably when given the chance, including last year. If something were to happen to Chris Carson, I would want Alex Collins stashed because he'd be the big waiver pickup of
week. Trying to get ahead of it the way, like if you had picked up Elijah Mitchell last week, it would have not cost you $91 in Fab. All right, that was Never Not Working. Get up to 100% of dandruff protection. That's Never Not Working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology available at Walmart.com.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Odell Beckham Jr. has been ruled out for week 2 for the Browns. He was kind of a surprise last week to be ruled out. Now you kind of roll your eyes and go, like, does he come back? I mean, the social media vague booking
he's vague tweeting. It's not good.
Like, you wonder, you know, is this a medical staff decision? Is this a head coach decision? Is this a we always win games without you decision? I don't know. It's just
He has taken a long time, assuming that this is dealing with the injury he dealt with all camp, recovering from the ACL. It's been a long time. I cannot fathom that, let's say he's active week three. Are you really going to start him in the first action in a year and a half off of injury? Like, I'm not. I mean, I wouldn't have drafted him. But my point is, it is getting dicey for Odell. Like,
yeah, it is.
I think he is one of those landmines on rosters right now. He's hurting you.
You have to get back from injury. Then you have to prove that you can be fantasy relevant to be started. And it's feeling less likely that that's going to happen, at least in the first half of the year. Now, Anthony Schwartz and Donovan Peoples-Jones, like, these guys are going to be involved in this offense other than Jarvis Landry, because Landry is what he is, right? He's going to be more of an underneath receiver along with Hooper. But Schwartz had a heck of a week one.
He did.
He is a burner. Sub 4.4. He's in the 4.3s. I think his pro day was 4.27.
Yes.
And his Schwartz was very big.
Schwartz is as big as mine
on the field this last week.
Josh Jacobs didn't practice due to toe and ankle injuries. I'm not surprised about that. I mean, you're coming off a Monday night game, and you weren't going to be practicing if you watched him come off the field every time last week.
Yeah, he was hobbling all over the place. If you played Jacobs,
I do wonder.
That was
like
some lucky touchdown strikes.
It was. And I think he started last year with a couple, like a two or three touchdown game too. You wonder if the toe, like if they switched cleats on the sideline, they were talking about putting the steel plate in for like turf toe. Like, woof. you could have a situation here where maybe you cash in on that two touchdowns away.
Yeah.
And
he was. I mean, yards per attempt is certainly not everything. But he ended the day with 10 for 34 and one reception. But because he scored two touchdowns, he was very fantasy relevant. But it looked rough, man. It looked very rough.
Yeah, Baltimore was a tough matchup, so you did get lucky.
But if you could package trade Josh Jacobs plus another player and trade up for a running back that disappointed in week one, maybe you get lucky and you can nab an actual stud running back.
What do you do? Like yesterday on the live show in the afternoon, we talked about whether you can kind of cash in on like a Tyson or a Elijah Missile. Sorry, Missile. I've got to pronounce that correctly. Would you rather have Jacobs or Elijah? I'm not going to be able to.
Eliza
and Peggy.
Okay. All right. Off to a good start. Jacobs or Elijah Missile?
As of this moment, I would probably still rather have Jacobs because he's done it. We know his role is secure. But it is interesting that I'm going hard on waivers after Elijah and wanting to capitalize on.
And he plays Pittsburgh this week, followed up by Miami.
No Evan Engram tonight.
Yeah.
So ruled out again. Hollywood Brown is not practicing due to an ankle injury. So I actually think Sammy is a nice streaming option this week, something I never in a million years thought I would say. But
He got you, Andy. fell right into his trap. He got you big time. Can't wait to revisit this one.
I can't believe I said that out loud. Devonta Freeman was brought up by the Ravens to their active roster.
This one was very surprising to me.
I mean, I talked about it. Last year, actually had games for New York where he looked good. Le'Veon Bell never looked good last year.
Yes, is where it's strange and surprising to me is that they worked both of these guys out. They chose Lev Bell first and brought him onto the practice squad, and then
they got to see him.
And then Gus Edwards, maybe that was it. And then
is like the role in the offense may be different now than the one they thought they were signing Lev Bell for.
Yeah, so this remains to be seen what will happen with Tyson, Murray, and Freeman.
All right, not sure about Will Fuller's role. That's what Brian Flores, head coach of the Dolphins, said. Playing the Bills, probably you could try it. I mean, he's a deep threat, so he's a big play player. I would probably play Will Fuller this week over Marquez Callaway, but I'd prefer to bench Fuller and wait and see what happens.
Prefer to bench.
Well said.
But they did. They paid him some money for a 1 year deal. Trenton Cannon signed by the 49ers, collecting running backs.
They're getting everybody.
Always. That was today's news and notes brought to you, as always, by Sleeper. 2021 season's here. Get the breaking news alerts that you need to go act on the waiver wire.
Vroom.
Get the Sleeper app today. Thank you.
That was a car.
That was. There was a V in there. There's a vroom instead of a... give me the sound effect.
It starts with a Y.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, before we get to our fantasy forecast, I want to thank today's sponsors, Brooklinen. That is an amazing company. It is what I sleep on. It's summer again. That means hot, sunny days and nights that are too hot to get any sleep, except not for me, because I've got Brooklinen crisp sheets that breathe and keep you cool. Means I can say goodbye to those hot, sweaty summer nights. Mm. Brooklinen was started to create beautiful, high-quality home essentials that don't cost an arm and a leg. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury-level markups, so you can get their amazing array of products at a reasonable price. Talking about buttery, soft, and breathable sheets, plush and absorbent towels, cozy robes, comfy loungewear, and they are very, very confident. They come with a 365-day warranty. This stuff is built to last. So give yourself the comfort refresh you deserve and get it for less at Brooklinen. Go to brooklinen.com. Use the promo code FANTASY to get $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. That's Brooklinen, Brooklinen.com. And enter the promo code FANTASY for $20 off with a minimum purchase of $100. It's brooklinen.com, promo code FANTASY.
Brooklinen, week one was incredible. Let's make week two even better. Get in on this
action. Deal. Let's do it.
You know how you do that, Andy? DraftKings.
Bet the over on the Charger game?
DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. They're putting you in the center of the action of week two, and new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars. Millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit by signing up using the code BALLERS. If you've never played DraftKings, it's simple. It's just like fantasy football. You set a lineup, and this one you have to stay under the salary cap. And then you go. And then Sunday is even more fun. You feel the action like never before. Download the DraftKings app now. Use the code BALLERS. And this week, new customers get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter the code BALLERS to try and get that free shot at millions in total prizes with your first deposit. That's code BALLERS. Only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Fantasy forecast.
All right, into the matchups we go. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Chicago to take on the Bears. DraftKings Sportsbook line here, Bears minus 2.5. The over-under in this game is 46 points.
Okay.
Bengals surprised a lot of people. They won at home in week one against Minnesota. It was an overtime game. This is a revenge game for Andy Dalton.
Oh, yes, of course.
So, I mean, what a narrative that is. I know, Mike, you have some strong feelings about the beard game. And the.
Oh, I love Dalton's beard.
Oh, you're a big fan?
Oh, I think
I thought you said...
Helmet off, yes.
Hold on. The Andy Dalton with the beard looks... it looks like a GQ guy.
Absolutely.
But with the helmet on, where it's the fiery red mustache...
That's all you see.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting. I've never seen anything like that, where a guy, helmet on, you're like, what's going on there? And then helmet off, you're like, oh, man, that's a handsome fella.
Yeah, he's pretty.
It's terrifying with the helmet. Like, legitimately, he looks at the camera and it's like,
maybe that's better for him.
What happened?
You're not playing Andy Dalton.
No.
Oh, no.
Joe Burrow, you're not playing him against Chicago? Chicago got beat by a couple deep plays last week. But their defense was pretty good.
Yeah.
I have them winning this game.
I was hoping we would talk about that. Of the Bears, they weren't as bad as the end of the game numbers.
No, they weren't at all. And then, you know, you're going to play Joe Mixon. 33 opportunities last week. This is the workload that you signed up for when you invested in Joe Mixon in the draft. It's why there was reason to be excited. There's still the overarching, okay, do you get a full season of Joe Mixon and 33 opportunities? That's 33 chances to get hurt, obviously.
You got him week two.
But you got him in week two, and they were pretty impressive on offense altogether.
I would agree with that. That's one of the things you said. You don't play Joe Burrow. I think you can play Joe Burrow in this match, not because of the matchup, but because of Joe Burrow. I think they need a little bit of credit. I was critical of the draft capital of Ja'Marr Chase. He showed up. He said, "I'm here for real." T. Higgins looked great. He was dominating the first three quarters, had to leave and get an IV. So he missed the fourth and overtime, but this offense was clicking, and I think it's TBD about the Minnesota Vikings defense from last week. Was their defense better and the Bengals overcame it? Or sure. Was their defense just not that much better as, you know, was hoped, and that's why the Bengals were good? This is a real true litmus test against the Bears. I think if Joe Burrow comes out and
it's a Christmas test, Jason.
Yes.
I can't believe that worked.
If it's great, then I'm all in on the Bengals, you know, being a good enough offense. But I do think if you've got Burrow on your roster, I'm not terrified to play him.
Chase, then Higgins, then Boyd. Is that how you'd order the wideouts?
I would still go Higgins, then Chase, then Boyd. But I get it. I mean, the big play potential, we saw it from Chase. Again, Higgins was the target leader at one point, and then... You know, well, I mean, he was carted off the field and didn't play.
Allen Robinson, you're playing him.
Yes.
I like a bounce back week for Robinson. Tons of targets last week. David Montgomery, obviously impressive in week one. Darnell Mooney, still interesting. Still, I mean, you can take a shot here in this matchup. He was targeted 7 times last week. They did not throw the, I mean, what happened to Mooney is the exact same thing that happened to Robinson. Robinson had, I think, 11 targets. He only ended up with 35 yards. Mooney had 7 targets. He only ended up with 26. There was everything underneath, and what Mooney's special sauce is getting downfield. So hopefully their offensive line gives them a shot to do that against Cincinnati at home, and you can get a big play from Mooney. But he's in the Marquez Callaway category of start, flex, desperation play. He also played 100% of snaps, which is something you didn't see last year.
Yeah, Mooney is interesting. We'll see if the Bengals can get the same type of pressure that Aaron Donald can get.
Cole Kmet.
We'll see. We'll see. Interesting.
I would play him over Mike Gesicki and make that change if that's who you were rolling with week one, but he would basically be about the last starter in your league.
The Houston Texans take on the Cleveland Browns. DK Sportsbook has this at Browns minus 12.5.
Oh, brother.
Over-under is 47.5. All will be revealed about the Houston Texans in this game. I take the Browns minus 12.5 if it were me.
Really?
Yeah, I would. I think it's going to be a bloodbath. I really do.
I do, too. I rewatched that Texans – Jaguars game, and I've never seen a team play so poorly in a blowout victory. They blew out the Jaguars, who just gifted every ounce of this game to them. They didn't take it. They were just gifted. So, I think the Browns are going to really do bad things on the field.
And that means you can play Baker.
Would you play Baker or Joe Burrow?
I'd play Baker at home.
I think I would play Burrow solely because I don't expect the Browns to have to throw the ball much. I mean, this is a Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb game where, granted, they could get up by Baker throwing, and Baker looked good. I'm happy with Baker, but I just don't think they're going to really need him, whereas I could see the Bears offense doing something against the Bengals if I had to pick one of these.
30 implied team points for the Cleveland Browns.
That's a lot.
At home.
A lot.
Our consensus rankings have Burrow and Mayfield back-to-back with Baker one spot ahead.
I'm switching.
You're switching?
I'm switching.
Burrow to Baker?
Yeah. Safer.
Safer. Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, yes. And yes?
Yeah, I'll do both.
47% of snaps for Kareem Hunt. This is the same offense we saw last year. Jarvis Landry.
I like it. I want in on this. Like I said, 30 implied team total points for the Cleveland Browns. I want in.
Let's put this to the test here with what we saw last week. Brandon Cooks had a great game. Mark Ingram had a good game. David Johnson caught a touchdown pass. Are you playing any Texans in this matchup? Are you willing to play any Texans? Like
the only Texan Brandon Cooks? I am willing to play would be Brandon Cooks, and I would prefer to not play him in this matchup, but we talked about this in the draft season. At the end of the season, Brandon Cooks is probably going to be a top 15 wide receiver. He's going to get it done. He always does, or at least a top 24 option. He was good week one. He's just an actual really good option.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. He was drafted in the first round. He's been good his whole career, and he's the only guy to throw the ball to. So I am willing to play Brandon Cooks.
I'm willing to play Brandon Cooks for as bad as the Texans looked. I thought Taylor looked
fine.
I thought he looked good for what you should expect from a journeyman quarterback at this point of his career. Mark Ingram, the volume superstar of week one, I am benching. He's someone that you need the positive game script. So David Johnson, in my season long, I don't think I'm going to take the shot at DJ. He was the passing downs guy, but like in DFS, maybe.
For what it's worth, Cleveland's defense was pretty impressive last week. They pressured Mahomes on 42% of dropbacks. They also only gave up, 9.3 fantasy points, I think, to Clyde in that game. So that puts Ingram up against it, no doubt about it, especially when you're sharing a backfield. So
yeah, I would expect David Johnson to have more points in this game because of game script than Mark Ingram, and I would not start David Johnson.
I love the defense for the Browns in this one, if you can play them at home. And coming off a loss. That was a tight game with the Chiefs. It came down to the wire. Moving on, the Rams travel to Indianapolis, taking on the Colts. The DraftKings Sportsbook line here, Rams -3.5 on the road. Over-under is 48.5. And did you guys see? I think Matthew Stafford won the offensive player of the week.
He had a perfect passer rating.
I found it egregious.
Yeah, Kyler had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah, I find that to be shocking.
I don't find it to be shocking in the sense that Stafford was, I think, part of the reason or the main reason they won, whereas I think Chandler Jones stole that game.
Okay.
I don't hate it. He was perfect.
That's fair.
Kyler was very good, but
yeah,
under perfection.
Man, but 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
But the Rams here traveling to Indy. The Colts have an implied point total of 22. The Rams at 26. I mean, Rams looked the way we thought they'd look. I mean, there were 2/3 of our NFC Super Bowl picks. Other than Jonathan Taylor going up against this Rams defense, are you trying anybody else out on the Colts side of the ball? I mean, Nyheim Hines got a lot of work, so I'm okay flexing Hines.
Yes, that would be the player. I would say Jonathan Taylor and Nyheim Hines you could play. Jonathan, you will. Nyheim Hines is a flex option. I'm not sure that I'm taking.
I'm not chasing Pascal.
I'm holding on Pittman. Jack Doyle, Mo Alie-Cox didn't do anything, so no. I think that's it. Now, obviously, with the conglomeration of that means no Carson Wentz.
Yeah, this is another one of those tests of let's find out the truth about week one, because you saw both Johnny Taylor and Hines, both of them independently saw a 20%+ target share, which is that's outrageous that your entire offense is running through the passing game to the running backs. Let's see if that was just a scheme against the Seattle Seahawks or if that's the way that Carson Wentz
is going to
play. I
think that's a good point, is that in a lot of these matchups in our previews, there are things that happen in week one where we're going to say, is it going to happen again or was this a one-off? Because you don't know yet, even about the defenses.
One of the things I'll point out is that Carson Wentz was hurried and hit and sacked as much as anyone this last week. Their offensive line didn't do a great job, and he, of course, held the ball too long. But their left tackle is something to watch. I think that when Eric Fisher, I'm not sure if he's going to be back in week two or not, monitor that. But I wonder if when he is back, you see less passing to the running backs, less of those dump offs, less of those being hurried in the pocket, get it to the running back type of plays.
But on the other side, you can play Stafford, Henderson, Kupp. You should definitely start Robert Woods. I'd put him right back in there. And then Tyler Higbee was out there for every single play of the game last week.
Yeah.
5 for 68. They didn't have to throw the ball a lot, 26 pass attempts, some big plays. Higbee looked the part to me as a critical piece in a very good offense.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a very good baseline for the weeks where you don't get a touchdown. A lot of these tight ends that aren't the top options are touchdown or bust. He is touchdown or meh, and that's a lot better.
Yeah. Buffalo traveling to Miami to take on the Dolphins. Both well, the Dolphins won last week. Buffalo lost. DraftKings has this as Bills minus 3.5 on the road. The over-under is 47.5 points. I do have the Bills in this one, and I think that they will bounce back. They're a well-coached team. Josh Allen still put together an okay fantasy day. Like, he didn't completely destroy you because he ran the ball. He had a couple of runs. It wasn't a pretty game against Pittsburgh.
No.
At all. But I still don't think you do anything rash with Josh Allen just because of a tough week one against maybe the best defense in football.
Yeah, I was going to say, I went back and you got to give credit to the Steelers defense. Watt was destroying things, and it's one of the most difficult defenses to play against. So while Josh Allen had a few passes that were his own doing where it wasn't hurried and he threw it in the ground or he overthrew a guy, whatever, that happens. I think you are completely right, Andy. You don't be scared off of these Bills. The Dolphins are still a good defense. This isn't one of those. It's not like the Bills are going up against Dallas and you have to force everyone in your lineup. But
I was impressed with them last week, to be honest.
With the Bills?
No, with the Dolphins.
Oh, okay. I was like, that's
strange take.
Yeah, that was a strange take.
No, the Dolphins defense and just like holding up against New England. I thought Mac Jones played well, and he still couldn't overcome this defense. They make big plays. The defense makes timely plays, and that's, you know, the game should be close. It's a divisional matchup. It should be another close game.
How are we feeling about Devin Singletary headed into Sunday if they, which is, again, a big if, Zach Moss is inactive?
People want to know what to do with Zach Moss. Should they just freak out?
Yeah, I think at this point I
would drop him.
Like, how can you not freak out when at any moment your player is a healthy scratch because he is not part of the game plan?
If he is active and part of the game plan, I don't believe you can play him. He is an insurance back to me. The only time that Zach Moss is going to be someone that you can start with confidence is only in the situation that he is the only back there. So he's not worth a roster spot unless you're just viewing him as insurance to Devin Singletary.
So Singletary, though, we saw him be the guy, 76% of the snaps, 16 opportunities, including 5 targets.
If Moss is gone, Singletary is probably in my lineup. I think okay. This is an easier matchup, not a great one, but easier than the Steelers. It's really going to be a matter of if Moss is active, I am absolutely not, because Singletary fumbled twice. So it's a matter of, like, are they going to trust him? Or if Moss is active, they might, you know, it could be kind of the punishment. Like, you got your chance, you fumbled twice, we lost the game, you're not the guy anymore.
He's a scary start, Singletary is, even with those opportunities. Like, there was a time when he had a lot of opportunities and it still, you know, it was under double-digit fantasy points last week. Obviously, tough matchup, but still scares me a little bit.
I'm with Jason. If Zach Moss is inactive, I'd be willing to play him.
Myles Gaskin in this one had 14 opportunities, 54% of snaps last week, had 5 receptions. If you were starting Myles Gaskin or Eliza, oh my God.
Eliza! And Peggy.
So every time I screw that up, I'm getting Hamilton shot back in my face.
You're darn right. I mean, we don't get a lot of opportunities to talk about Eliza on this show.
Only since you invented this ridiculous nickname has he become, like, there's something about saying missile
that gets
that throws
you to
me
Z?
Into Eliza.
I like it.
Sounds like a personal
Mitchell.
Problem.
Mitchell or Gaskin?
I would go Mitchell. You know, obviously we saw what the Bills did to Najee Harris last week. It was not good or kind. He was on the field 100% of the time, and I think he's a better talent. But in a PPR league, that's not to say you can't start Myles Gaskin. He had 5 receptions, but I mean, that's already, if you get 5 receptions, you can't really have a terrible game.
Yeah, it's dancing with the devil because you're not 100% sure that
it's also 9 for 49 on the ground.
You're not 100% sure that the missile will be the guy in the matchup, but I think I'd take that dance. I'd go Mitchell.
All right, so Stephon Diggs, you play him. Beyond Stephon Diggs, though, I don't know if there's really certainty in any other wide receiver option in this entire matchup. Waddle, Parker, Fuller, Sanders, Davis, Beasley.
Full PPR, I would still say that Beasley is a fine flex. He had 13 targets last week.
And there's no way you can play Gesicki after the Goose, right?
No.
Why not take a shot with a Jared Cook or a Dallas Goedert or Noah Fant?
Gesicki in your normal home leagues, you know, 5-6 bench normal roster construction should not be rostered. He should be on the waivers taking a shot at a different tight end.
Yeah, he was in the draft process. We were talking about, Tua is going after the tight end position, but Gesicki's a part-time player. We still aren't even sure that he's going to be the predominant tight end. And he was smythed with snaps. Smythe. It was in there over 70% of the time.
And he was involved in the preseason quite a bit.
Yeah, so I'm with Jason. I would cut Gesicki.
Battle for the basement, the New England Patriots against the New York Jets in New York.
Mean.
DraftKings Sportsbook has it as Patriots -5.5, over under 41 points. I guess that 5.5 is more indicative of the low over under, one of the lower ones of the week. But I would have expected the Patriots to get a little bit more credit on the points here. Bill Belichick hasn't lost to the Jets since 2015. I'm guessing that is Rex Ryan era defeat.
I'm guessing it doesn't change this week.
No, I mean the Patriots defense against the Jets or the Browns defense at home against Houston. Which would you go with?
I would go with the Patriots defense solely because...
rookie quarterback?
Yeah, you're looking for turnovers. You're looking for sacks. I don't think, you know, that Tyrod Taylor is anything special, but he actually protects the ball.
Yes, he does.
He can run away from sacks, and he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions. So while they you know, you're not just looking for a defense that's going to stop the other team from scoring a lot. You're looking for a defense that's running up against someone that could make mistakes.
Yes.
And with the offensive line troubles that the New York Jets had, certainly a rookie can make mistakes here.
Stay away from all running backs on the Jets side of the ball. Tevin
Agreed.
Coleman, Ty Johnson, Michael Carter. No, no, no. Damian Harris, on the other hand, is a candidate for, like, I look to pick him up in leagues this week.
Sure.
He looked like the best back. It was a tough matchup against the Dolphins. Low scoring game. I like what I saw from Mac Jones. I like what I saw from Damian Harris, but the output didn't have the touchdowns, so I would have been looking to pick him up, and I think he's going to be great this week.
I'll bet he is. He's a very good start. Happy to put him in my lineup. I will be watching for Ramondre Stevenson, though, just because I was shocked how early he got in last week, and then he fumbled, and then it was, you know, out.
He was banished
from
the land.
So I could see him just not even playing this week, continual punishment. But if he happens to get in early again, it'll be indicative, I think, on a season-long level. It's funny, because all three of these running backs on the New England side are relevant for keeping an eye on, while the three running backs on the other side are, well, man, just run. Run away.
That being said, the Jets probably have the most sure thing at wide receiver. Corey Davis is the number one, maybe the number two as well, for Zach Wilson. He's looked great for his entire Jets tenure. And the one thing that Wilson can do is, you know, escape the pocket a little bit, hyper-target his number one. Elijah Moore was awful. I mean, he was really, really bad. He had the chance on a big play that I'm going to call it a drop. He had a drop in the screen game. It wasn't a nice debut for Elijah Moore. So Davis is my favorite wide receiver in this game. And then it's a decision for Jacoby Myers and Nelson Aguilar, who had, you know, okay, week ones. Aguilar scored 9 targets for Myers. Which of the two do you prefer in this one?
Corey Davis.
Okay. All right.
I'll take the safety of Jacoby Myers because this is – I mean, they're both like a wide receiver 3 flex at the best.
Did you have any takeaways from Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry in week one in terms of confidence levels or like neither of them put up games that were going to help your team? And
no, not really. I mean, I think I was really wanting to see what would happen with Mac Jones, and he targeted the wide receivers and James White in a way that made me very like I was starting to buy more and more in on Jonnu hype late into the off season because I had just killed him in my draft rankings right. forever. I never thought he had a chance. Tight end splitting, and then I changed right up until kickoff, and then kickoff was like, no, yeah, I don't want to play with these tight ends.
San Francisco 49ers travel to Philadelphia. Nice over-under in this one. It's 50.5. DraftKings has the line, 49ers -3. I don't know what's real or not from Philadelphia in week one, to be honest with you. Atlanta
agreed.
Atlanta beat themselves. You talked about the penalties. They also don't have an impressive defense or haven't in recent years. 49ers underwhelmed defensively against Detroit, even before, you know, the kind of comeback attempt from Jared Goff. Now, Jalen Hurts had a nice week one. So, I mean, what is your overall take in this game when you break it down and the tough decisions?
So, when I look at this game, I think that the Eagles are more for real than we thought starting the season. I would agree with you that you can't just go off of week one and say, oh, they dominated the box score, and so they are good. But also, the San Francisco 49ers losing Jason Verrett, their defense did not look good from the get-go. Their offense looked very good.
Yes.
So this is a game where I want pieces. I think it's going to hit the over-under. I think it's going to be competitive. I don't think either team blows either team out here, which is great for fantasy and in racking up the score. So this is a game where I'm looking. Deebo Samuel is someone you have to start. Miles Sanders, Kenneth Gainwell. I think Kenneth Gainwell is someone.
Are you confident on Sanders?
On Miles Sanders?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am confident on Miles Sanders. I would be perfectly happy to start him.
Yeah, I'd be excited to start him this week.
Yeah, okay. I mean, what I saw from this offense and the wide receivers, certainly I would put Devonta Smith first. He looked like the primary target when they had to throw.
On the Philly side.
On the right? Philly yeah, side. Yeah. Rookie wide receiver for the Eagles. He was the primary target when the game was still competitive, and then it kind of got out of hand.
Yeah, I don't have confidence to flex Gainwell in week two. I wouldn't do that. Are you saying you would flex him?
I think I would. I'm curious. I might flex Gainwell over James White. I view them very similarly in the sense that you're talking about a guy who can be a PPR back. Now, in this game, they blew the Falcons out. They didn't necessarily need to throw the ball a ton, but his usage and the fact that he was on the field so much and sure. his talent said to me that I think I could flex Kenneth Gainwell without, you know, too much fear here.
I'm going to go through the most popular start-sit questions coming through for Elijah Mitchell.
Okay.
Elijah Mitchell or Saquon Barkley?
Oh, Mitchell.
Fire the missile.
Oh,
Elijah
well said.
Mitchell or Chase Edmonds?
I've gone back and forth on that so many times this week. At home,
I believe your last answer was Edmonds.
At home, favored. I'm going to go Edmonds.
I will go Edmonds as well, and we can talk about it further at length in the Arizona game. But one of those week one things. Let's see how it actually shakes out. James Conner was involved in this game, and when they got to the goal line and inside the five, James Conner was the guy who was taking those snaps and getting those attempts. Kyler got the rushing touchdown on a bootleg, but that was James Conner on the field.
Yeah, one thing that doesn't show up in the box score yeah. there was a play at the one, and it was James Conner in there, but then it was a false start.
Yes.
So it never even goes to the box score, but they were lining up to run James Conner right up the middle.
Yeah, I think he's the goal line back. That being said, I think Edmonds was in a lot while the game was competitive.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to derail the missile talk here, but I think I'd play Chase over the missile.
The missile or Tyson Williams. Another report from Greg Roman came out this morning. It said, quote, that the days of one running back getting all the snaps are over in Baltimore.
Yeah, he was asked about that report. Just
haven't they been over for years?
Yes. And so that was the report of, like, why wasn't Williams playing more in the second half? And they said we wanted to get more running backs involved. Personally, I take that as a positive that they didn't come out and say, no, Williams was punished for missing his pass protection. We had to get him out of there. We weren't comfortable playing him. So,
all that being said, I'm firing up the missile in that one.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
Okay, Damian Harris or the missile?
Harris.
Daryl Henderson or the missile?
Henderson.
Henderson.
Okay, Deebo, we're playing him. We said that. Devonta Smith. Kittle, expect him to bounce back in this game, have a better performance. And then Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz, the Philly tight ends. I guess we're going to talk about them momentarily.
We are.
Ooh.
Starts of the week.
Let's start at the tight end position. Jason, why don't you start?
Okay, let's talk about Dallas Goedert. he is my start of the week this week. Zach Ertz suffered a hamstring injury in week one. The Eagles are resting him right now through practice. They're hoping he plays in week two. Either way, Dallas Goedert should be a factor. Ertz played in week one, and Goedert was, you know, a top five tight end. And he was looked to in the red zone, almost ended up with two touchdowns. It talked about, I really like this game. I like the point total. I like taking the over. So
you like it more than Noah Fant with Judy leaving the field?
That one is
asking for a friend.
That one is really, really close. Remind me, Denver is playing
Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's nice. I think that's...
Oh, man.
He had me at Jacksonville.
I think you are going to be happy with both of those players. I'd probably go Fant.
My tight end start of the week is Kyle Pitts against Tampa Bay. Dalton Schultz, Blake Jarwin, they combined for 10 targets at the tight end position.
Yep.
And last week against Tampa, pass rush is going to force targets underneath. He's good for eight or more. I mean, he had the same amount of targets last week as Calvin Ridley. I view both of their performances in the same light. I think he gets eight or more targets in this game. What he does with them, that's going to determine whether you're happy. But, you know, at the tight end position, beyond the Waller, Kelsey, Kittle group, Pitts has as good an opportunity this week as anybody else to have a big game.
And if you picked Jared Cook up off of the waiver wire, I am putting him in immediately.
Right into the lineup.
Right in. I guess it's not the highest over-under anymore. Kansas City has taken that away, but we highlighted the 55-point over-under. Please. 55! Thank you. He saw eight targets last week. That's a 17% target share. And look, sure, it was probably a Brady Gronk thing, but the tight end just torched this Cowboys team. But Cook was on the field and almost as active in the receiving game as the primary wide receivers.
Yeah, and I'll go right into my quarterback, Justin Herbert, start
yes,
of the week.
Please.
This game against Dallas is going to be awesome for fantasy. He looked great in week one. Justin Herbert didn't
It was
finish.
A weird – he looked great, didn't perform for fantasy at
exactly,
all.
Exactly, which
weird.
Is why I'm making him the start of the week, because you might have him and have – hesitation. Look, the Washington football team he went up against last week was very, very difficult, and he did well. There was some fluky plays, like when they got down in the red zone, they're about to score a touchdown. There was a weird thrown fumble that he just got the ball tipped, and then, you know, it looked like, oh, they get another play, and then it's like, nope, that pass was a thrown fumble out of the back of the end zone, other team's ball. So the touchdowns didn't come, but in this game against Dallas defense, which if we're even allowed to say those two words together, oh, man, I want all the pieces. You have to start Justin Herbert.
And I'm going to go Russell Wilson against Tennessee in this
Russell?
One. Russell. He's going to cook this defense. The defense that just gave up five total touchdowns to Kyler Murray. I think Russ has a chance at the number one overall spot this week against Tennessee.
Agreed.
Oh, man. When I saw this in there,
yeah.
Russell is going to... Oh,
he's going to obliterate the Titans.
He is going to carve them up like the chef he is.
All right. Going to be cooking. All right, Mike, your quarterback start.
I'm going with Matty Stafford. He is he's taking on the Colts. The Colts just gave up the ninth most points to the quarterback position of it, the one you were talking about, Russell Wilson. And meanwhile, Stafford was 10th against the Chicago Bears, and I think that the Bears might be a little bit of a better defense than the Colts. Russ beat them deep. Do we see a repeat on that Van Jefferson play right at the beginning of the game? To be determined. But I think that Stafford...
Tell me you didn't think that was DeSean Jackson when you first saw it.
Oh, totally did. I assumed.
100% assumed it was DeSean Jackson in week one.
It was like, I knew that was going to happen. Oh, Van Jefferson.
But while Stafford, to me, doesn't feel like someone where you're like, yep, yeah, I've got top five upside this week, he feels like a real safe top 12 guy.
Well, and more professional transitions. My wide receiver is Cooper Kupp. Goodness gracious.
Because of the breakfast thing?
Because of the breakfast. He's getting that cup of coffee Is Cooper Cup of Coffee going to be out there?
Stafford had a Cooper Cup of Coffee?
Oh, Stafford's got a Cooper Cup of Coffee on his team, and it's going to be great.
Or Robert Woods.
Look,
his name is not conducive for breakfast jokes.
Robert Woods breakfast. Say that.
Look, man, I warned you. Warned you at the top of the show that stupidity would flow.
Yeah. And
so Cooper Cup of Coffee.
Cooper Cup of Coffee. Look, Footclan.
Oh, that's Koopa.
Koopa. That's Koopa Cup of Coffee.
Like King Koopa Cup of Coffee?
Exactly right. Spelled the same. Koopa Cup of Coffee. I would just...
Eliza.
I would encourage... Thank you, Aunt Peggy. I would encourage you, Foot Clan, to say this at home.
Oh, Koopa Cup of Coffee?
Koopa Cup of Coffee is fun to say, but seriously, it did look like he
fun
was...
Fun to say,
the,
fun to play.
The clear first read for Stafford. All the jokes about them getting breakfast early. They were in sync. He was fantastic, and I genuinely believe you want to take the shot now. Like, he's someone that I would maybe even go look at trading for, and the matchup, the Colts couldn't guard anyone last week. I don't blame the Colts as much as I blame Russell Wilson, but Stafford, Cup, they're going to be great here. It's you know, Lockett had two touchdowns, and if you looked at the Gerald Everett play, where Lockett was wide open for another third touchdown. If it was just Russ's got to pick which guy he wanted to give a touchdown. So I think Cooper Kupp's going to ball out.
We have a bunch of players interconnected throughout the start of the week because we love these games. And Mike Williams is my start of the week against Dallas.
Yes.
We talked about it. The game's going to be a shootout. He had 12 targets last week. He looked like a stud. He looked like a player doing the things he was drafted to do. He's healthy right now, and that's all that matters. I am chasing that first week performance with Mike Williams. I believe it's going to be a great week. So start him, flex him, whatever the case may be. Mike Williams is my wide receiver start.
And a lower tier wide receiver I want to give some love to here is Jarvis Landry. I've mentioned it during the matchup. I want in on this. I want in on those 30 implied points. Maybe it turns out that Nick Chubb rushes in four touchdowns, and it's a little bit disappointing, but he had an 18% target share. Since Odell has come to Cleveland, Jarvis is averaging five receptions in those games where Odell is not there. So I think that he is a safe wide receiver three play or of the week. And we know that every once in a while, Jarvis just he has himself a game, and I think it's very possible this week.
Well, you can't like Baker without knowing that Jarvis will be involved. So, Jason, running back.
My running back start of the week is David Montgomery. He was absolutely outstanding. One of the best-looking running backs in week one, and that was against the Rams' top defense. Cincinnati looked fine last week, but that was in Cincinnati's home opener. Now they're going on the road. It's going to be an easier matchup than the Rams. The Bears are both at home and favored. That is really predictive for touchdowns. So I think David Montgomery is someone. Honestly, this is probably the last time this year we can make him a start of the week because, I mean, you know, at some point I think he's got the Steelers on the schedule this year, and if I probably play him, no problem at that point. He just looked so good.
They're going to lean on him. Remember when I had you at Jacksonville?
Yes.
Well, I have Melvin Gordon at Jacksonville this week as my running back start of the week.
Okay.
His Jacksonville is hashtag not good. Gordon will get plenty of opportunities. I think he's going to get goal line work in this game. He showed he can still break a big play. He also had three targets out of the backfield. That's something Gordon can do. Javonte only had one. They're going to split time, but there is plenty to go around in Jacksonville this week. Teddy Bridgewater can move the offense, and I think Gordon ends up in the end zone again.
And I'm going to go with Damian Harris taking on the Jets.
Yes.
Nearly a touchdown favorite and, you know, plenty of implied points for the Patriots offense. 23 carries, 100 yards, and he even saw some targets. Look, fellas.
What do you know?
That's crazy.
Damian Harris saw some targets. If he's going to see three targets,
what do you do with them?
I can't tell you right now. Can't tell you, but he saw three targets.
On a scale of James White to Sonny Michelle, how'd he do?
He saw three targets.
He watched them fly by.
He saw three opportunities through the air, and he's going to get the groundwork. So I think that Damian Harris is a smash play this week.
Well, on to the ever-important Boom Boom Kicker.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom boom kicker of the week.
Last week, I sat down to poo This week, I stood up. And you can stand beside me with the Bucks Ryan suck up.
Okay.
It's nothing like standing to poop.
I did see that's where I went, and I also like how this is. I feel like I'm part of a story now.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
you get. Is this?
I'm going to weave a narrative through the year.
Through
I hope not.
Also, I want to make sure I heard you, correctly.
Have you stood to poo before?
You sat down to poo, but this week you stand up.
That's
and people
right.
can join you.
It's going to fall a long way. That's right. This is a standing poop.
This is a standing drop.
It's not an often called for maneuver, but
I don't know if I could do that.
I don't think it's possible. Can you just poop standing up?
Like I mean, I don't mean like a crouch. I mean a full stand.
Full
stand.
Just squeeze it out. I don't think you can do it.
I mean, if you had to if you had to go.
I mean,
you have to like at least be A-frame with your legs out.
Yeah, I don't.
You
I mean,
have to.
Or you've got.
Al thinks you spread the cheeks with your hands.
You gotta. That'd be a mushy mess if you didn't.
Oh, no. Well, yeah. There's no. Nothing.
It's not going to go well clean wise from a standing position.
Once again, delay, delay, delay before we elegantly move into a sponsor. We want to thank Pristine Auction. Kyler Murray signed jersey right now, $64. Amari Cooper signed logo football, $42. Hundreds of daily sports memorabilia auctions. It keeps getting better because the selection keeps getting better at Pristine Auction. You can find your player and then rub it in your friend's face when you put on the Amari Cooper helmet and run around.
I mean, like softly, too. You could the jersey. Just give him a
little rub.
A little soft wipe on the face.
We need to shut this thing down. PristineAuction.com. Use the code BALLERS. That'll do it. More matchups tomorrow. Foot Clan Friday coming up. Enjoy this game tonight. We've been surprised by these matchups before.
And I hope to be surprised again.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.